Hey, so welcome back to week two of a series that we're calling God is Blank, where for the last several weeks and for a couple of weeks to come, we're going to be looking at the characteristics, the attributes of who God is. You see, I believe we're living in a world, in a culture that is very confused about who God is. And I believe if I were to go out on the street right now and just start talking to a few random people and asking them this question, who do you believe God is? What are the characteristics and the attributes that make up who God is? I think we would get a whole variety of answers. Starting with, first and foremost, I don't believe God has any characteristics or attributes because God doesn't exist. He's not there. He's not real, and so therefore he has no characteristics. I think others still would say, God is just this mystery. Like there's no way that we can possibly really understand or know who God is. And then others still, I think they see God as like this angry old man up in the sky saying, get off my lawn, just waiting to strike us down with a lightning bolt the second that we do something wrong. And so here's our hope and our prayer and where this series is kind of coming out of, the heart of where it's coming from is this. Is that we believe that there are so many people who are confused about who God is. Maybe somebody along the way, along their faith journey, has told them things about God that weren't true. Maybe it was the media or our culture who kind of gave them a picture of God or Jesus and it was just inaccurate and wrong and they walked away from their faith. And for me, that just breaks my heart. I can't stand that. Because what I want is for people to see who God really is. And I believe through Scripture, through the Word of God, we can know that. No, will we ever be able to know the fullness of who God is? No, because he's so big and grand. He's so much bigger than we can really wrap our minds around. But there are some things, there are some attributes about God that we can know. And I believe when we know them, when we discover them, and find out who God really is, it will be life-changing for us. And that's what we want around here. We want people's lives to be changed. So last week we began with this very first attribute of God. God is love. And for many of us who've grown up in the church or been in kind of Christian culture for a while, we've heard that over and over and over again. Probably maybe more than any other attribute or characteristic of God. But the question we really dug into last week, and I want to encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to watch last week's message, go to our YouTube channel, go to our Facebook page, and catch the message from last week, because each one of these messages is going to build on the other, and it's going to be foundational for the next one. So don't miss that. But last week, here's what we talked about. How do we know that God really does love us? I mean, when there's so much pain and garbage and suffering in the world, how can we possibly know that? And the short answer is this. Jesus on the cross. That's how we know that God loves us, because he saved us from the sin, the penalty of the sin that we should have had to bear. He bore it for us. That's how we know that he is our Savior. It is such an important characteristic and attribute of God that he loved us enough to save us even when we did not deserve it. But there is a second characteristic, a second attribute of who God is that goes hand in hand with this characteristic of being our Savior. And this is what I want to get into this week. Because the first part, the Savior part, that's the part that we all love. That's the part that we talk about all the time in the church. But this second characteristic, sadly, as I look around our world, even in Christian culture, even in the church, this characteristic sometimes is kind of blazed over. It's looked over, and we don't talk about it that much because this part of God's characteristic is a lot more difficult and challenging to accept, and that's that God is Lord, that Jesus is Lord. You see, over and over and over again in Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New, God is described as Lord. In fact, depending on which version of the Bible you are reading, the word Lord is used between 7 and 8,000 times in Scripture. More than any other word, the word Lord is used. And that should make us kind of, our ears kind of perk up. That should get our attention, right? If this attribute of God being Lord is used, that word is used more than any other word, then it must be important. It must be a huge part of who he is. Now, as we get started, I want to kind of unpack first and foremost the definition of what a Lord is. Someone who is a Lord is someone who has authority, who has power and control over someone else or over something else, right? They are the master or the ruler over something. That is what a Lord is. And I think this is the beginning of our struggle with this word. And why I think so many of us, myself included at times in my life, I struggle with saying, okay, yes, Jesus, yes, God, you are Lord of my life. You can have all of my life. You can have complete control of it. Why? Because as human beings, we don't like authority, do we? We don't like giving someone else control over our life. Why? Because I want to do it my way. I don't want someone else telling me how to live my life. And I don't know all of you, but I know this about you. You don't want other people. You don't want someone else telling you how to live your life either. You see, human beings, they have a problem with authority for two reasons. One, there's a lack of humility. There's an arrogance inside of us that says, my way is better. I can do it better than you, and therefore I'm not going to follow what you have to say. The authorities in my life, I'm not sure that you know better than me. But there's a second reason as well. When somebody who is in authority over you, if you don't trust them, if you don't believe that they have your best interest in mind, you're not going to follow them, right? Like if you have a boss that just is so mean and nasty and rude and unethical, you don't want to follow them. Why? Because you don't trust them, right? You're not going to follow them and you're not going to buy into their authority because there's a lack of trust. Human beings, we struggle with authority in all different areas of our lives, right? Kids and parents, if you're a parent and you've got a child, you know that sometimes they just fight tooth and nail against your authority. Why? Well, because I think there's part of them that thinks they know better, even though they might only be 5 years old or 10 years old. There's a part of them that maybe, just maybe, hasn't fully trusted that you know better than they do, right? Employees and bosses, people and governments, look at the world we are living in right now. The lack of trust, the distrust that is going on. Why? Because we don't trust our government. We don't want to follow that authority because there's a lack of trust. We don't believe that they have our best interest in mind. But you know what I've come to realize? And now we're going to kind of get into the heart of what we're going to talk about today. What I've come to realize is that more often in my life is so much better. It is so much easier when I allow an authority in my life to actually just tell me what to do, to tell me how to live, right? Think about this with me for a second, because right now you're probably thinking, what? No, I want to do it my own way, right? We just talked about this. I know best. I know the best way to live. I don't necessarily trust everybody else, but I definitely trust myself. So I don't want anybody just telling me what to do, calling all the shots. But here's what I've come to understand. When someone just tells me what to do, life is so much easier. Think about this with me for a second. You and your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your wife or your friend, you're trying to figure out where to go out to eat, right? And this happens in my house all the time. Well, where do you want to go? I don't care. Where do you want to go? I don't care. And you just go round and round in this circle, right? And sometimes here's all I want. I just want the other person to say, here's where we're going. Here's when we're going, right? And just make the decision. Just tell me where to be, when to be. Sometimes life is so much simpler that way. In fact, I would argue it's almost always simpler that way when we don't have to be in control. And that's really at the heart of this whole idea that God is Lord and us kind of fighting against that. It's that we want control, right? But here's what I'm learning. Don't miss this today as we get started. That control just leads to more stress and anxiety and release of control, release of the need to be in authority all the time and always be the one calling the shots. It leads to so much freedom. And so in short, Here's the message today. And I believe it's a powerful one. That God is Lord. And if we will submit to His Lordship in our life will be so much better. We will have so much more peace and so much more joy and so much more freedom if we would just do that. And on this weekend, this July 4th weekend, I can't think of a better topic to talk about than us as human beings understanding what will bring true freedom in our life. It's not holding on and gaining more control. It's actually releasing control to the God of the universe that we can trust, who does love us, and we know that because He has saved us, right? But it's releasing our control to Him. It's submitting to His authority in our life. And so here's what I want to dig into for the next couple of minutes in the time that we have left. What does that look like? I mean, what does that really mean? What does it mean to make Jesus the Lord of my life, to completely submit to His authority? And so today we're going to actually be starting in Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at the words of Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. I'm going to start with this incredibly powerful statement that he makes about what it means to make Jesus Lord, about how to be saved and then consequently make Him Lord. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you, open it up. If you've got a phone with the Bible app on there, open it up. Always encourage you to be reading along with us, but we will have the words up on the screen for you to follow along with as well. This is what Paul says in Romans 8, verses 9 and 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He says, for with your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. And so he begins with this incredibly powerful statement. He says that you need to believe. If you want to be saved, it requires you believing in your heart, first and foremost, that Jesus Christ was actually raised from the dead. This is the foundation of our faith. Everything else hinges on this. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And because of that, He is God. I recognize that if He has the power to do that, He has the power to do anything, right? But then there's this second part to this. And this is the part that I feel like we just kind of like blow over in Christian culture these days. He says, believe in your heart He was raised from the dead and confess with your mouth that He is what? That He is Lord. That He is Lord. And when he's saying this, when Paul is saying this, he's making a statement that goes beyond just saying, okay, yes, I believe that God is kind of the ruler of the universe at large, right? What he's saying specifically here is this, that Jesus is Lord of my personal life. He is Lord over my life. There is a deep personal conviction that Jesus is now the master of my life. And from this day forward, if I have accepted Him as Savior, then He must now be my Lord. And that is a challenging thing for us to comprehend, and even more challenging to live out. You see, here's the reality and here's the truth. He can't be your Savior and not be your Lord. They go hand in hand. If He is your Savior, He must be your Lord. Let me say that again. If Jesus is your Savior, if you really believe that He's the God of the universe who came into this world to die for your sin, that He loved you enough to do that, then the only response that we can have, the only worthy response to that, is to say, okay, Jesus, You've done this thing for me, and from this point forward, I am now Yours. I submit myself to You and whatever You want me to do. They go hand in hand. You cannot separate them. If you are accepting Jesus as Savior, you are embracing Jesus as Lord. But here's what I worry about. I worry that there are many people. I don't even think it's just a few. I think there are many, many, many people who have accepted Jesus under kind of false pretenses. Like, I can accept Jesus and just you know, get the love and the Savior part, but I don't have to make Jesus my Lord. I can continue to go on just living exactly the way I was living before, doing the same things I did before. And that's not what Scripture says. That's not what Paul says. In fact, Paul, he takes this a step further over in Galatians 2, chapter 20. I love this. Like, what does that really mean? Okay, make Jesus Lord of your life. Because I think there's a lot of different thoughts and perceptions and ideas out there about what that means. But Paul, I think he gives it to us pretty straight and pretty clear here. We're going to look at some scripture here to back this up. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. What is Paul saying here? He's saying that the old you died. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your old self, it died with Christ on the cross. In the same way that Christ died on the cross to wipe away our sin, the second we accept that, we die to our old self. We become something new, a new creation in Christ. He now lives in us. He now dwells in us, and he is now our master. The person that you once were, the life that you once lived, the goals that you once had, the dreams you once had, they're gone. And this is such a hard thing for us to take hold of. Come on, can we just be honest, right? Because I had dreams, I had goals, right? I was gonna be X, Y, or Z person. I was going to achieve X, Y, or Z thing. And now all of a sudden, Paul is saying, no. No, if you've accepted Christ and what he has done for you, you are now his. He is now your master. And from this day forward, you have new dreams and new goals, and they are set in what Christ desires for your life. And for many of us, I think, we look at that, we hear that, and we think, oh, I don't want that. Like, that's going to be boring. That's not going to be fun. I'm going to be a slave to what Jesus wants me to do. Life is going to be so much more lame and difficult, and I don't want that for my life, right? Let's be honest. That's how we feel when we read that verse. But I want to explain this to you as clearly as I possibly can. We're going to get into this a little bit more in just a moment. But when we release our old self and accept the new that Jesus Christ came to bring us, there is an unbelievable amount of joy and freedom that comes with that. And I want to help you see that here in a moment. That God is for you. Yes, he is the ultimate authority and Lord over your life, but he is actually for you. He does love you, and he knows what's best for you. All right, so let's take this a step further. We recognize our old self is gone. Our old self has died. He is now Lord of our life, master of our life, ultimate authority in our life. What does that mean practically in the day-to-day? Like, what am I actually supposed to be doing with my life? And if we will understand this, if we will get this concept, it will make our lives so much more simple, and it will make our lives so much more better. We'll have so much more joy and freedom. This is what Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 28. And 20. You've probably heard this verse many times before, but I want to unpack it here today for just a second and help remind us, or maybe if you're hearing this for the first time, share with you for the first time, this is who Jesus Christ has called you to be, commissioned you to be. This is what it says in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So these are the words of Jesus. Jesus has been crucified, buried. He's been raised to life again. And he has given them this message before all of this happened. And he says, listen, guys, first of all, you need to understand this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, all authority. not 50%, not 90%, all authority. I am the God of the universe. I am Lord over all, and that includes over your personal life, over every part of your life. Your life is not your own anymore. And I'm going to give you now a new mission as your ultimate authority, as your commander-in-chief, your boss, your Lord. Here's my expectation for you in this life. Number one, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then he says, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. You see, the mark of someone who has surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life is that they do two things. Number one, they take the great commandment found over in Mark chapter 12, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They take that seriously. Every day they live to love, right? But then there's this very specific challenge. Because we love God and because we love people, Jesus says, I want you to go into the world and make disciples. This is now your mission. This is now your goal. It is the only thing that matters. You making disciples. Making disciples, he says, of all nations, of every person that you come in contact with. The lordship of Jesus says that you must follow this commission. And this is, again, we get hung up on this, right? Why? Because we have the life that we wanted to live. We have the life that we thought we were supposed to be striving and achieving, right? And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and says, listen, you want to be my disciple? If you really love me, if you really want to obey me, if you really are going to call me Savior, then you have to do what I've called you to do, commanded you, challenged you to do. See, we love the idea of Jesus as Savior, don't we? But do we love the idea of Jesus being Lord? Do we love the idea of giving up the life that we once thought we were going to live this new life that he has called us to? And I think what's so beautiful about this Great Commission, that's what this is called, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It's the Great Commission. Every one of us has been called to this who have put our faith and trust in Christ as our Savior. But do we believe that that is the ultimate mission for our life? Not our job or career or education or getting money or even specifically who we're going to marry or the children that we're going to have. But do we recognize that all of those things, in all of those areas of our life, in my job, my career, in my education, in my relationships, in my parenting, in my marriage, in all of it, our primary goal that our Lord and Savior has called us to is to make disciples. To make disciples. To tell people about the good news of Jesus and to teach them how to follow him. That is our goal. That is your responsibility and role as a Jesus follower who has been saved by him in this world. The question is, and I think this is the question that we have to wrestle with if we're ever going to actually be obedient to the lordship of Jesus. Do you trust him? Do you trust that he has your best interest in mind? That if you live like that, that your life will actually be better. I do. And here's why. It's the amazing truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is this, that Jesus left his throne. He gave up his lordship in heaven to come down into this place, this world. He humbled himself to the level of a servant, right? He was Lord, but became servant, so that we could be free. That's the kind of Lord that I will follow to the end of the earth. And this is why you can't separate Savior from Lord. If you believe that he was Lord, lowered himself to servant to become Savior for you, there is only one worthy response to that. And that is to follow him with everything that we have, to make him Lord of our life, to say, Jesus, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go wherever you want me to go. I will speak to whoever you want me to speak to about who you are and your amazing love, right? And so this is the challenge today. I want to throw out one challenge for you. If you want freedom in this life, if you want the fullness of the joy and the peace and the contentment that Jesus wants to give to you, that Jesus wants you to have, it's not going to be found in seeking what you want for yourself in this life. It's not going to be found in you being Lord of your life and you being in control. It's actually going to be found in making Him Lord because He deserves it for what He has done for us. It's going to be found in making Him Lord. And here's the challenge. If we want freedom, we have to bow to His Lordship. We have to bow the knee. If you want to be free, you have to bow the knee. That's the only way we truly get it. True freedom comes when we bow the knee to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want to be free, you have to bow the knee. We must bow ourselves in humble submission to His Lordship over us. I love how Paul explains this in Philippians chapter 2. This whole idea of Jesus being Lord, it's everywhere. You cannot miss it. There is no way to read your Bible and miss this. This is what he says in Philippians 2. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. It says he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And this is the part I don't want you to miss. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. To what? To the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day, every knee, not most knees, not almost all of the knees, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And so here's the question. Are you going to bow the knee now, or are you going to wait until it's too late? I mean, that is the truth of what the gospel presents. We have all been given an unbelievable amount of chances to bow the knee before our Lord and Savior. But there will come a day when there are no more chances, when the evil in this world has to be eradicated. And so the question is, are you going to bow the knee now? Or is it going to be when it's too late? Jesus is Lord regardless of whether or not you believe that He is Lord. He is. He is Lord. He wants to be the Lord of your life, and He is a good Lord. He is so good, and He wants what's best for you. And so I'm challenging you, and I'm encouraging you to bow the knee today, because in bowing to Him, you will gain a joy and a freedom like you have never experienced. Today, I gladly submit to His authority in my life because I recognize that His plan and His purpose for me is better than my plan and purpose for myself. And I want to bring Him glory because of what He has done in and continues to do through me. And so I want to talk to two groups as we close. First group, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you have never confessed with your mouth that He is Lord and believed in your heart that He is Savior, would you recognize this today? That Jesus did die on the cross, loved you enough to die for your sin. And yes, you do have sin in your life. And we talked about that last week. Again, don't miss the first week of this message series. He loved you enough to die for your sin. Would you Would you embrace him as your Savior, but would you also embrace him as your Lord and allow him to begin to take you on a journey like you can't possibly imagine? Second group, if you have put your faith and your trust into Christ as your Savior and your Lord, let me ask you this. And this is a question I've been asking myself this week. What areas of your life, what areas of my life have I not fully submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus in my life and in your life? Have you bowed in submission in every single area? He's not asking for 50% of your life or 99% of your life. He's asking for it all. He's asking you to submit everything and give everything, whatever he asks you to do in the name of making disciples. Whatever your job is, whatever your current situation or circumstance or career or life position, wherever you are, he's asking you to make disciples. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to make them? Here's a couple of areas. Let me just ask you this. Have you bowed in submission in your career? Have you bowed in submission in your relationships? Have you said, okay, Lord, you're in charge here. You, Lord. How about in your finances? Have you said, okay, God, whatever you want me to do with my money, I'll do it in the name of discipleship to help more people know Jesus. How about in your actions and your words, the way you speak? Okay, God, whatever you want me to do with my words and my actions, I will do in the name of making disciples, right? Because that is the commission that we have been given. God is for your joy. This is the last thing I want to say before we close. He is for your joy, but it's not in the way that you think. Because here's where our joy will be found. The greatest joy that we can find is in living for the Lordship of Jesus in our life. Living to make his name known. Living to glorify him. Why? Because that is what we were created to do. Anything else is going to leave us feeling empty. And so that is my hope and my prayer for you today, that you would recognize that Jesus isn't just your Savior, that he is also your Lord, and that is a good thing. You want Jesus as your Lord because he is good and he is trustworthy. And so today, if you want to be free, will you bow your knee to the one who deserves it, who deserves all of our honor, all of our glory, and all of our praise, and watch as you make him Lord of your life, as you submit and surrender more and more to his Lordship, watch how your life changes. Father, we love you and we praise you because you are Savior, but I praise you because you are Lord. And even in those moments of my life, even those areas of my life where I've had trouble submitting and surrendering everything to you, I pray today that you would break that in me, that you would take it away, take that desire away for me to be in control, God, so that I can have freedom in you as I allow you to lead and guide my life wherever you want me to go. There is so much freedom in that. God, I pray that over our people today. I pray that over anyone who might be listening, that they would submit to the Lordship, your Lordship in their life, and that they would begin to see their life changed. God, I pray that over this world, over our country. God, I pray that you would reign, that people would, more people would see that if they followed you and trusted in you as Savior, that this world would change, that their lives would change, their families would change. God, I'm praying that. I'm praying that families would be changed, that individuals would be changed because of your great love, because of your saving love, because they surrender to your Lordship. God, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We can't thank you enough for all that you do for us, and for giving us an opportunity to be in relationship with you. It's in Jesus' perfect name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. I pray that the message was encouraging and challenging to you. Happy 4th of July weekend. Praise God for the freedom that he has given us in Christ. But praise God that we get to live in a country where we are free to talk about the freedom that God has given us. Hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your weekend. I'm rooting for you and praying for you as always. And I will see you soon.